Let's go into the word, let's agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you have so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving, and we say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this evening that the truth of God's word is taught with accuracy, with clarity, with precision. There is no confusion, there is no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word of truth this evening. And we declare and decree that at the end of today's meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right. So we'll just pay attention to a few things today. Pre-notified us, and we would pay attention to things that would help guide us in what Sunday service is going to look like. Well, go all the way with me to Matthew's Gospel 28. Okay, go to Matthew's Gospel chapter 28, verse 18. Matthew's Gospel 28, verse 18. Look at Matthew's Gospel 28, verse 18. Matthew's Gospel 28, verse 18. Now look at what Jesus says there. He says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all authority, that's what their power in your Bible, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, right, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Now it says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And one of the things we've said, paid attention to over the last few days, is that when it comes to the instruction that Jesus gave in Matthew's Gospel 28, it's an instruction that is given to every man who is born again, right? So the moment you become born again, that instruction applies to you. The moment you become born again, you are one who has been sent to go therefore and to teach all nations and to baptize. Now, the emphasis is on verse 20, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always. So it means that the gift of salvation comes with an instruction to teach, that is to make disciples, right? So you are one who's a believer that is being discipled so that you can disciple another, just so that the other you disciple will also disciple another, right? So this instruction is as well the instruction to me, as well the instruction to you, and as well the instruction to your disciples to go into the world and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded. Now, we said that from Matthew's Gospel 16, go to Matthew's Gospel 16. Look at Matthew's Gospel 16. So Jesus goes to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, and he asks his disciples, saying, who do men say that I am, or I the Son of Man, or am? Yeah. And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some say thou art Elias, and another say thou art Jeremiah. Right? And if you look carefully, you pay attention to what now happens in verse 17 or verse 16 or verse 15. It says, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter will answer Jesus and say, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. Right? And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood had not revealed. Look at that carefully. Right? Thou art Simon Barjona. Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood had not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Now, one of the things you must pay attention to there is that there's a play of words in Matthew's Gospel 16. Right, so when Jesus says, I'll build my church, he's not saying he's going to build his church on Peter. Are we together? Well, so he says, I'll build my church. Now, we've seen from scriptures that from the beginning, God's plan has been to build a church or to build a people. Right? We said the word their church is the word ecclesia, that is those who are called out of darkness and called into his light. Right? So I'll build my church, and the gate of hell shall not withstand it, or shall what you see as your shall not prevail against it. Right? And something that happens is, and I will give thee the keys of the kingdom. So upon the building of the church, upon the resurrection, the keys of the kingdom will be handed over to men. Did you see that? So when Jesus says in verse 19, I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom, it is I will give unto man, or I will give unto all, it is going to be given to men. Okay, so when you see keys of the kingdom, it's about authority. So I'll give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt lose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So the authority of heaven and earth, and the binding of heaven and earth, and the losing of heaven and earth is being given to man. So the resurrection reality is something that comes with an authority that has been handed over to man. Take note of that. So man has been given the authority, or man has been given the authority that Jesus possesses upon the resurrection. So I will give unto you the keys. Don't forget, in Matthew's Gospel 29 and 28, it says, and all power is given unto me. All power, that's what authority. So in that authority, it gives it to man. Okay, so mankind will be possessors of the authority of Jesus. So the authority of Jesus will be that which he gives to man upon the resurrection. Okay, so it means that there is something that God gives to man upon the resurrection. It means that mankind will be the custodian of certain realities. Did you get that? Right, so the authority to bind and to loose has been given to man. Right, so on the earth, how will men bind and loose? Men will bind and loose when they preach the gospel. For preaching the gospel is the act and art by which Jesus will say, whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Are you following now? So what is Jesus doing? He is building his church. Now, it's not my church, it is his church. That means he is building a people. I am just one, for instance, as a custodian, or one given the responsibility to help nurture other people. Okay? Yeah? So, but the church belongs to Jesus, right? It is his church. Okay? It is his flock. So if it is his church and it is his flock, it means that Jesus will determine what and how things should be communicated within his church. Did you get that? All right. Did you get that? Right. So Jesus will determine what he hands over to the church, right, and what he determines should happen amongst the church. So if I say amongst the church, what does that mean? It is amongst men. Right, because the authority is given to mankind, is given to man. Right, so I'll build my church has been the goal from the beginning. So I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Are you with me? So the authority of the resurrection has been handed over to man to do something: teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. That is, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded. Are you with me? Go all the way to Mark's Gospel 16. Mark's Gospel 16.
First, use face recognition to unlock the device.
Go to Mark's Gospel 16. Right, so look at verse 15. So this is similar to what you have in Matthew's Gospel 28. Right, so if you go back to Mark's Gospel 16, it says, 15, and he said unto them, that's Jesus, go ye into all the world. That's similar to go into all nations and teach all nations, right? So go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, right? Preach the gospel to every creature. Now look at what he says very, very carefully there. Remember I said something from Matthew 16, I said that whatever Jesus gives upon the resurrection is the authority and that is given to man, or the authority of the resurrection has been handed over to man. So there are things that God expects to be done amongst the people, amongst his people, and it will be done through men, right? So he that believeth, look at verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, right? But he that believeth not shall be damned. So you are one who has believed the gospel, it means you are saved. I am one who has believed the gospel, it means I am saved. So he that believeth and is baptized is saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned. Now look at 17. And these signs shall follow them that believe. So there are signs that will follow those that believe, right? So you are one who believes, I am one who believes. There are signs by default that follows you and follows me. All together. So in that authority that we have via the resurrection, there are signs that will follow you and there are signs that will follow me. Okay, so these signs shall follow them that believe. He says, in my name, that is, in my authority. You remember, right? I will build my church and I will give the keys. Yeah, same thing. So the authority in my name, they shall cast out devils. So it means that as a believer, you are one who can cast out devils. Mind you, at this point, he is talking to everyone who has believed. Right? He's not talking to leaders. He's not talking to pastors. He says, he that believed and is baptized is saved. These signs shall follow them that are pastors. No. These signs shall follow the elders in the local church. No. It is, these signs shall follow them that believe. Yeah? So take your mind back to what we started teaching a few months ago. Right? We said that there is the universal church and there's the local church. The universal church is made up of every single person that is spoken about in Mark's Gospel, chapter 16 and 17, which signs can follow, or signs, who signs follow, right? So the universal church is made up of every human being who has heard the gospel and has believed the gospel, right? There was a local church. The local church will be the community of people who believe the gospel within a locality, within a common place, right? Within a geographical location, right? So these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it shall not hurt them. Look how it says now in verse 18. It says, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Okay? They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Look at that again. They shall lay. So who are those that can lay hands on the sick for the sick to recover? Every believer that is a member of the universal church. So every believer that's a member of the universal church can lay hands. So when it says lay hands on the sick, it means that something happens when hands are laid altogether. Right, look at it. What is the resulting effect of the hands laid on the sick? Look at it again in verse 18. They shall recover. Okay, so every believer that believes and is baptized and is saved, this sign shall follow. One of them is tongues. One of them is casting out of devils. One of them is they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So it means that laying hands on the sick is a method that is found. Remember I said something earlier on, right? Jesus can determine what will happen within his people, within his community. Right, so they shall take up serpent, that is, they shall confront the work of the enemy. Right, they shall take up serpent. If they drink anything deadly, it shall not hurt them. That means they will be delivered from evil. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Now, let me say something to you. Why can't or why should a believer lay hands on the sick and expect recovery? Or let me say differently, when a believer lays hand on the sick, what should the believer expect? Recovery. Yeah? So, why should the believer expect recovery? Because Jesus has said, when you lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. Okay? Right? So, they will recover. So when I lay hands on the sick, what comes to my mind? What comes to my mind is that I'm laying hands in accordance to the instruction and the resulting effect that will happen when hands are laid. So, it means the hands are laid. Now, mind you, the hands are laid does not mean, look, say it carefully. Now, when you say they shall lay hands on the sick, it's not saying those that are healthy, those that are not sick, shall lay hands on the sick and the sick shall recover. There are different things. Yeah, you see, sometimes, a lot of times as believers, we don't lay hands on the sick because we feel certain pains as well of certain things that are wrong with our system or whatever it is. You see, when you lay hands on the sick on account of the instruction of Jesus via the resurrection or from the resurrection, you are not ministering anything that is of yours, but you are ministering everything that is his. Are you following? Right? So, can a sick believer lay hands on another sick believer? Yes. Okay, take a step back. Can a sick believer lay hands on himself or herself? Yes. What should be the resulting effect of the laying on of hands of the believer on him or herself? He or she shall recover. Okay, so what should be the resulting effect of a believer laying hands on another person who is sick? Right? Yeah. He or she that hands have been laid on shall recover. Okay, so what is the resulting effect of a sick believer laying hands on another sick person? Listen to what I said though. A sick believer laying hands on a sick person. So it means the sick believer will be in bracket of a man who believes the preaching of the gospel. That's verse 16, right? And I say, laying hands on a person who is sick, it is in bracket, anyone who is sick at all. What should be the resulting effect of the hands being laid? Well, the resulting effect of the hands being laid is that we should see they recover. So it means that people can recover from sicknesses when hands are laid. By default, it goes as much to show you that when hands are laid, things happen. Right, so hands are laid and things can happen, or things can happen when hands are laid. Now, the practice of laying on of hands is a practice that should be associated with every believer, right? So every and any believer can lay hands on the sick, and any sick person can recover. Right? Yeah. So why do you expect that a sick believer can lay hands on a man or any other person who is sick, and the person who is sick can recover? It is because the believer is not ministering his or her sickness to the person that is sick. The believer is ministering God's ability, a supernatural ability, in the heart and life of or in his body or her body, or in her life or his life. Do you understand? Right? So you see situations where it's in scriptures, the dead bones of a man brought dead men back to life. That is, so it means that power can be resident in a man, and that power resident in a man can cause any sick to recover and cause any dead to come alive. All right, so go to Ephesians chapter 1. You see, this prayer we pray a lot in God's palace. There's a reason, right? There's a reason. Look at Ephesians 1, verse 16. Go all the way to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16. Go all the way to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16. Let me show you something quickly in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16. Okay, Ephesians 1:16. Are you there? So this is Paul to the church in Ephesus. He says, "I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." Now, that the Lord God, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the wisdom of the Spirit. So in your Bible, what you have is the spirit of wisdom, right? The spirit of wisdom, if you leave it on that surface level, one can think that it's another spirit that Paul is praying for. But really, there's something called genitive of apposition in Bible interpretation, right? In English language generally, where words that are used are further used to explain what was said before, or to point your attention on where your attention should be. So when you see spirit of wisdom, for the believer, where should your attention be in Ephesians 1:17? The word wisdom. Yeah, so a better way to read Ephesians 1:17 is that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the wisdom of the Spirit. So wisdom of the Spirit is something that Paul is praying for here. So it means that wisdom is something that a man can pray for. Look at James 1. Look at James chapter 1. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Go to James chapter 1 verse 5. Look at what James says about wisdom. James 1:5. So James says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Okay, so another way you can read this using Paul's genitive of apposition is, if any of you lack the spirit of wisdom, let him ask of God. So can a man ask God for wisdom? Yes, James tells you, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Now, what is it about God? God, he giveth to all liberally, and he doesn't find fault. Okay, so if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Okay, please listen to that word wisdom. Okay, watch this now. So it says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the wisdom of the Spirit. So is this a prayer? All right, so is Paul's prayer in Ephesians 1 in alignment with James' teaching in James 1? Oh, yes, right? Yeah, so if a man lacks wisdom on a matter, right, you can ask God. Paul will say, there is the wisdom that we pray for, right? He says, and what is it about? It is that is the revelation in the knowledge of him. So Paul says, I cease not to make mention of you in my prayer. So Paul is saying, I pray for you, and my prayer for you is that what? You receive wisdom. What is wisdom there? Revelation in the knowledge of him. Praise God. Verse 18. Yeah. And now further explains what revelation and knowledge of him is. It says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling. Right? And what is the riches of the glory of inheritance in the saints. That is, so who is the saint there? The saint is the one that in Mark 16 says, whosoever believes what? This sign shall follow them that believe. So the one that believes is the saint. What does Paul say about the saint? He says there's the riches of the glory of God's inheritance where? In the saint. Okay? So there's the riches of the glory of God's inheritance in the believer. Right? What is he really saying? Look at verse 19. And that ye may know what is the exceeding greatness. Yeah, the exceeding greatness. That is, you know, scholars argue that Ephesians 1 verse 19 has the highest concentration of the use of power as a word. Watch what happens. And you might know what is the exceeding greatness, super abounding greatness of his power. That means the powerful power of his power. So where does the exceeding greatness of God's power reside? Watch that again. It says that ye may know what is the riches of the glory of the inheritance in the saints. What it means is that you may know the exceeding greatness of his power to us. What? So the demonstration of the powerful power of God's power is to who? To us what? Who are the us what? Well, the saints who have the riches of the glory of his inheritance in verse 18. Right? So you are one who is full of power. The exceeding greatness of his power is in you. How do you know? He says that you may know what is the exceeding greatness of his power, verse 19, to us what? Who believe. Is that Mark 16? Yeah, Mark 16 comes alive again. So in Mark 16, there are those who believe. And Paul says, for those who believe, there is the riches of the glory of the inheritance, that is the exceeding greatness. What I mean to say is the powerful power of God's power. Are we together? He says, according to the working of his mighty power. You see mighty power again. So the working of his mighty power, it didn't stop there, verse 20, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. So the powerful power of God's power was used to raise Christ from the dead. Are we together? The powerful power of God's power was used to raise. And who was it worked towards? It says, to us what? Who believe. So the powerful power of God's power, which he wrought in Christ to raise Christ from the dead, was demonstrated towards you who believes. All together. Towards you who believes. Yeah? So go back to Mark 16. So Mark 16 now says, these signs shall follow them that believe. So why should these signs follow them that believe? It's because the powerful power of God's power resides in the man who believes. Or the great exceeding greatness of his power, according to his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, right? When he raised him from the dead. So that powerful power of God is resident in the man who believes. You get that? So it is because of that power that you can cast out devils. You shall speak with new tongues, and you shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Okay. So can a believer who has the powerful power of God's power have an ailment in their body? Yes. Okay. Yeah. Can a believer who has the powerful power of God's power, right, actually give up their ghost and die in the flesh? Oh, yes. Right, but what is the essence of the powerful power of God's power? It is to be resident in the believer, so that in the resurrection morning the believer comes alive. Altogether, yeah. When Paul will teach it as the immortality will be swallowed up by immortality, yeah. Corruption will be swallowed. That which is corruptible will be swallowed up by that which is incorruptible. Yeah. The powerful power of God's power in the believer can allow the believer to cast out devils. So, how many of you can cast out devils? You can cast out devils. I can cast out devils. How many of you can lay hands on the sick? You can lay. Because the powerful power of God's power is in you and is in me. So, if I can lay hands on the sick, you can lay hands on the sick. So, the laying on of hands is a practice that is associated with those who have the powerful power of God's mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead to us what who believe. Yeah. So when you lay hands on the sick, why should the sick recover? Well, the sick should recover because the powerful power of God's power resides in you. Okay, so if for any reason you have a headache and a sick person comes to you, right, where should your attention be on? Your headache, the sick person's headache or God's powerful power? Well, I put it to you, dear saints, God's powerful power should be where your attention is fixed on. You understand, right? So in fixing your attention on God's powerful power, right, in doing that, see, healing, recovery can happen to both the person you lay hands on and yourself. You see, I've been in times where there are people, in fact, there are several times when I minister, and by word of knowledge, I identify people who have certain sicknesses or ailments. Let me even tell you, interestingly, well, there are times and days where I minister, and as I'm ministering, I feel pain in several parts of my body. And right on the spot, I know that that pain is not just about me. Right, and I will just, whilst I'm teaching, I will just minister it and say, who is this person that has this pain or that pain? And I'll talk about, I remember there was one in Christ maybe 2 years ago or thereabout. I had spoken about someone who had a back pain or a strange back pain. Me that got on stage to minister God's power and God's word in that meeting, I had a back pain. Right, but as I laid hands on the person, right, in laying hands on that person, the backache of that person went, just as mine went at that point. Why? You see, at the point of ministering God's power, your attention must be on God's power and what God's word says about his power. What does God's word say about his power? Because you believe, it means you are powerful. It means you can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. All together. So, when you are to lay hands on the sick and you have a headache, what do you not do? How can me, who is not whole, lay hands? No, it is, you are not ministering headache to the person. You are ministering God's power to the person. So you can lay hands on the sick. So that's why you see men on wheelchairs laying hands on the sick, and the sick are standing up from wheelchairs. You know why? It is because they are not ministering the wheelchair. They are not ministering amputated legs. They are ministering God's power. Altogether, right? There are men in their numbers around the world where, in the real sense, they have ailments in their body. But what God uses them to do are strange and diverse. Why does it happen? It is because there's a principle or an authority that comes to the believer, with the believer, for the believer upon the resurrection. And the believer can minister God's power and expect a recovery to happen. Are we together? All right. So things happen when laying of hands happen. One of the things that happens is what? They shall recover, or recovery to those that get or are sick. So it means that you can lay hands on the sick for recovery. Yeah, look at Luke 10. Look at Luke 10. Luke 10, 19. Look at Luke 10, 19. Yeah, this is similar to what we have in Mark 16. It says, behold, I give unto you the power to tread on serpents and scorpions, right? So treading upon serpent and scorpion will be around all over all the power of the enemy. And notwithstanding, nothing shall by any means hurt you. Altogether. So it means that because of how powerful the believer is, there is the power. Don't forget, what did Jesus give? I give unto you power. I give unto you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy. Altogether. So it means that there are things that usually would happen. There are things that usually can happen. And what you need to actually point your attention on is the powerful power of God's power right on your inside. Altogether. Let me say it differently. So it means that the day a believer is sick, it doesn't mean that God's power stopped being in the believer. Yeah. Yeah. Think about it. Why do believers die? If we're talking about this powerful power of God's power resident in the believer, and yet believers still die at very strange ages or age, right? Why does it happen? Well, man is a mortal body. Man can use or superimpose that supernatural ability of God's power upon their mortal body. However, their sin is to a degree, is to a measure. Why? Because of the state of man at the moment. Because of the frailty of man. Because man is dust. Yeah, yeah. You know, I've taught you before, when the Bible says man is dust, or God made man from dust, yeah, your attention must not and it ought not to go to sand. altogether. Yeah. So man is the totality of man, humanity, right, is well wrapped and knitted in frailty, so in mortality. You get that, right? So, but regardless of that, there is the powerful power of God's power which has been given to the believer that is based on the authority of the resurrection, and the believer now has to use that authority judiciously. Altogether. Now, that is for every single man. That is, so we see that things happen when hands are laid. We see that things happen when hands are laid. Now, it means that you must note this. There is such a thing called God's wisdom. Altogether, there's such a thing called God's wisdom in the what community that he's building. There's such a thing called God's wisdom for certain things. So what is God's wisdom for you to grow? Okay, does God want you to grow spiritually? Yes. What is his plan for that to come into manifestation? That is why there's a structure called the local church. So the local church is God's wisdom for your growth. Altogether, the local church is God's wisdom for your growth. Yeah, so your pastor is God's wisdom for your growth. Yeah, why? Because remember, we started looking a few weeks ago. Who is your pastor? Yeah, your pastor is the one who guides you, who provides, you know, and guidance, who teaches you. You understand? Yeah, we looked at all those words about who the pastor is. Yeah, so the pastor is the one that in the local church will fulfill God's wisdom for your spiritual growth. Altogether, because I mean, you already know, and we have been teaching this over time and over time, that man gets better and man grows in the things of God when other men teach them. Yeah, so men, so what is God's wisdom in the Christian faith? That men teach other men so that other men can teach other men. That is why Jesus will say to Peter, right? So look at it though. No matter how flawed man is still God's best method on the earth. Please know that. No matter how flawed mankind is, no matter how flawed humanity is, mankind or man is still God's best method. Mankind is God's wisdom on the earth. God's wisdom on the earth. So if a man says he wants to grow spiritually, how does God expect that a man grows? Not by staying in your bedroom and saying you are serving God and watching YouTube video and you are watching and hopping from, you know, church to church and just behaving anyhow you want. No. It is that God has put men. Look at Ephesians 4 verse 7. Look at Ephesians 4 verse 7. Well, let's go to verse 9 for time. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower part of the earth? It says, he that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Now look at verse 11. And he gave. So what is he talking about? The resurrection in verse 9, in verse 10. Get that? He that ascended, right? What is it also but descended first in the lower part of the earth? He says, in verse 11, and he gave some. The word some in the Greek is the word men, and I've taught you before, the word that means certainly, truly, or indeed, right? So, and he gave some, that is certainly apostles. So it means that amongst all the believers who believe in Mark 16, in Matthew 28, in Ephesians 1, amongst all those believers that have supernatural abilities, the powerful power of God's power, exceeding greater of his power, according to the working of mighty power, right? Yeah, which he wrought in Christ. As much as every believer has that, amongst the community of God, there is God's wisdom of a sum. Now, you know, when I say some, I'm not saying some people, even though in the real sense, it will deal with some people. Are we together? What Paul is teaching as some here is certainly, truly, indeed. It means that not everybody will operate in the apostle, as an apostle, a prophet, an evangelist, a pastor, but everybody can lay hands and the sick will recover. Everybody can cast out devils and devils will respond. Are you following? Yeah, so he gave certainly apostles. Not everybody will be an apostle, a pastor, a prophet, evangelist. No. Not everybody will be a pastor. Are we together? So you would be a pastor, for instance, who would have a pastor, for instance, who has a pastor. Right? So, for your Christian faith, what is God's wisdom for you? God's wisdom for you is that you are submitted in the local church, which is God's method and order for fulfilling His will on the earth. So, how are you taught about the supernatural abilities and spiritual faculties that you already have? You are taught by your pastor in the setting of the local church. Altogether. So, one thing you must know, like I won't start switching this teaching now, but you know where I'm going to already. One thing you must know is that there are certain things that are God's wisdom on earth, and you cannot make it a foolish thing. Altogether. You cannot make it a foolish thing. If you followed in the Rekindle teaching or series we just finished, and rather, special meeting we just had in Abuja, right? You know, I was saying something about how there are some things that are God's wisdom on the earth, but it's foolishness to man. You did that. Corinthians will teach you that, right? It is the foolishness of man, or foolishness to man, but the wisdom of God. Let me show you that in 1 Corinthians. Look at 1 Corinthians quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We've got to chapter 2. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He says, Yeah, verse 11, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Okay, look at verse 10. Okay, look at verse 9. Okay, look at verse 9. Look at verse 9. Look at verse 9. Okay, look at verse 8. Okay, look at verse 6. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So they crucified the Lord of glory because God's wisdom was hidden in their foolishness, or God's wisdom was hidden in what they saw as foolish. Look at verse 9. But as it is written, I had not seen nor ears heard, neither has he entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God had revealed them unto us by his Spirit. It says verse 11, for all man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him. Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now look at verse 12 carefully. Now we have received not the spirit of this world. Who are those that have received not the spirit of this world? Well, it is everyone who believes in Mark 16 and everyone who the mighty power of God's power demonstrated towards in Ephesians 1. So we receive not the spirit of this world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things which are freely given unto us by God. Now, which things are also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Listen carefully. Yeah, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. So why will a natural man not receive the things of the Spirit of God? It is because the things of the Spirit of God, they are foolishness unto him. They are foolishness unto him. So the things of God sound foolish. So when your pastor tells you the local church is God's wisdom for your spiritual growth, it sounds foolish because in your mind you're like, are we not just coming together in one building and just seeing ourselves? No, it's God's wisdom. But it is foolishness unto a carnal mind or a natural man, so to say, like Paul would say. Say they are foolishness unto him, neither can he be known of them. He knew them. Because why? They are spiritually discerned. You see, there are people who are spiritually alive unto God, but they do not discern things spiritually. When I was telling you a couple weeks ago about, you know, I was in a conversation with a friend recently, and we're just talking about how, you know, I believe strongly in the mighty of God, the mighty power of God. You know, but when it comes to, you know, all these people that are falling, underfalling, you know, I don't like. And you know, that's someone who is spiritually alive unto God, yet spiritually ignorant when it comes to discerning. Are we together, right? So you must not use your mouth to talk against the things that is called the wisdom of God. So God's wisdom is that there are certain things that should be in operation within the local assembly, that is, you eventually find within the universal assembly. Altogether, right? So he says they are foolishness to him. Why are they foolishness? Because they are supposed to be spiritually discerned. Are we together? They're supposed to be spiritually discerned. There are things that are discerned. You understand? So you must not join the bandwagon or the, you know, the community of people who look down on spiritual things. No. In fact, let me tell you, like I always tell you, to help you, anything that seems to make a mockery of the move of the Holy Ghost or the move of the Spirit, shield your heart from it. Yeah, because you cannot receive from something you don't honor. Yeah, you can't receive from something you've spoken down on. There are lots of us who, you know, I've taught you something, yeah, in the last few series, when we spoke about Abraham and Lot, there are battles you don't need to fight, but just stay spiritually discerning under the covering of your Abraham. Just stay spiritually discerning under the covering of the wisdom of God. Just stay spiritually discerning, about the wisdom that God has placed. Do you understand that? So there are people who act foolishly, right? Yeah, when you say all these people that fall under anointing, yeah, they fall under. Why are you falling on the ground? Why are you shouting? Why are you doing this? Those are people who do not spiritually discern. Or people that say, hands don't need to be laid on me, oh, nothing happens when hands are laid. If you just touch me, yeah, you know, I've told you before, yeah, there are people in the real sense where you want to lay hands on them and you see the might and energy in which they are trying to stand on the ground. Why? And I always tell you that an extreme has been identified in the world does not mean there is no legitimate fact or legitimate reality that can be seen and taught. Just like giving as a principle in the Christian faith. Yeah. Yes, we know people who bastardize giving. Yeah. Sow up to go up. Sow all your last seed if your need cannot. You know all those things. We've taught all those things. But that does not neglect the biblical instruction of giving. Such that a man who doesn't give as a Christian and doesn't give, you know, joyfully, cheerfully, you know, give according as he has prospered, is one who is in outright disobedience to the scriptures. Yeah, so you cannot teach that because people teach that seed sowing is this, and you say, oh, seed sowing doesn't work. Yeah, you now say giving doesn't work, or giving is not a principle, sorry. Right? No. You don't use an extreme, right, to fight another extreme. That's it. Yeah, there are people who use their leg to quack people. You know, the word quack is the Greek word for trying to make people fall down. There are people who use, you know, who use force to push people down. Yeah, but you don't use an extreme to find another extreme. That does not neglect the spiritual wisdom and the wisdom of God that comes with what you call the laying on of hands. Altogether, yeah, see, there are people who use their hand to slap the head of another, right? And the people get healed, yeah? There are those who use their hands for so many things. Yes, there are people who do so many things, right? But in all of that you see, you must guard your heart to understand that God's wisdom is God's wisdom, regardless of how extreme man takes it. Did you hear that? God's wisdom remains God's wisdom, regardless of how extreme man takes it. You see, Jesus says, you lay hands on the sick. Do you understand? Yeah, you lay hands on when you see sick. When you see a sick person, what should be the first thing that comes to your mind? Scripture says, "I will lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall get recovered, or shall get recovery, or shall recover." So there is the wisdom of God. You understand? There is the wisdom of God. There is the wisdom of God. There is the wisdom of God that can only be spiritually discerned. And let me tell you freely, right? Spiritually discerned actually, to a large extent, falls back on how well you are taught. You see, that's why God's wisdom is a local church. Because it's in local church you know how to spiritually discern the wisdom of God when you are well taught. Do you understand? So there's some things that sound foolish to man, but don't laugh at it. There are things that sound foolish to man, but don't laugh at it. Don't laugh at it. It's God's wisdom. He has put it there. Do you understand? So when hands are laid on the sick person might either stand fully on ground in the real sense and he still receives God's power. You see, God's power is regardless of whether the man is sitting or standing on the floor. And God's power is communicated. Things happen when hands are laid. Do you understand? Yeah, you know, so when you start letting people say, you know, and like I gave an example in the Rekindle teaching, for instance, when you say, pastor says, are you ready over there? Take it. Yeah, you see, that is God's wisdom. Yeah, that man can give direction to God's power. That is God's wisdom. That man can give direction to God's power. Do you understand? Yeah, you saw in the meeting, for instance, yeah, where we lay hands on the jacket I removed. Yeah, you saw what happened to a jacket I removed. That's God's wisdom. It is God's wisdom on the earth. Don't look at people. You know. I remember someone cracking a joke a few couple, over 10 years ago. You know, when one pastor's clothes was over, and when he removed his jacket or something like that, and he threw it to the crowd, everybody ran away from it. Well, that's something that the devil is trying to use to walk towards your mind, right? To walk against your mind. I went together, right? So it is God. So man can give direction. Do you remember on the Rekindle meeting, right? I had placed my suit, right, on a chair, right? And I asked people to go touch it. You see, by my instruction, people are keen to that. In my instructions, I gave direction to God's power. And I said, go use the material and touch that cloth. I went together and take that cloth to the sick, right? You need to hear the testimonies that have been happening. Yeah, see, you cannot afford to say, oh, because people have taken it an extreme. No. God's wisdom is God's wisdom. Ministry gifts over your life. Your pastor is God's wisdom for your life. Your pastor is God's wisdom for your spiritual growth. Yeah, whilst yourself and your pastor, right, have the same spirit to lay hands on the sick, to cast out devils, the powerful power of God's power is there. There is God's wisdom and God's order he has placed in local church. So there are things that are taught by discipleship, and there are things that are communicated. Do you understand? Look at it. So there are two ways to heal the sick. Yeah, you can take the sick and put the sick within the midst of the word being taught, and the word brings life to the sick and the sick recovers. But there's another way. You can lay hands on the sick and the sick will recover. Are we together? Yeah? You can lay hands on the sick and the sick will recover. So you hear people say things, they say things like this. There are things that are taught and there are things that are caught. Yeah? There are atmospheres that you will be in and God's power is readily available there. Let me tell you for free. You see, one of the reasons why we would have our kind of meeting we're going to have on Sunday is because no matter how you all were in your different zones, teaming to rekindle, it was never the same with you being in that physical place in Nigeria. It was never the same. Yeah, it was never the same. So there are things that are taught. There are things that, now you have seen people talk about, you know, one angel came to the atmosphere or came to the church and came with the baby of somebody who was barren, but the woman was not in church. Yeah, people take things extreme. Like I said, people can take things extreme, but it doesn't invalidate God's wisdom. Are we together? Yeah, look at it. You can be in a meeting where your barrenness goes off. You can be in a meeting. I've told you before, I've had meetings where fibroid dries up. I didn't lay hands in that meeting. In fact, this happened twice. Just by those people being in that atmosphere, fibroid gave up its roots. Yeah, it's God's wisdom. You know, you can catch a certain kind of fire by being in the right place of prayer. You know, you can catch a kind of fire by being in the right place or in the midst of people who pray in certain ways. It's God's wisdom that we're impressionable, right? We can find ourselves in a community, and in being in that community, the zeal of the Lord, the fire of the Holy Ghost right on our body, or begins to burn right from the inside of our body, right? And begins to give us that devotion and passion or that commitment to the things of God and seeing that God's will is done on the earth. It is God's wisdom. All together. So, the things of the Spirit, I told you over the Rekindle series, do not get to a point where you logically explain everything away. No, don't get there. That's one of the mistakes we make as Christians, or as a lot of us, what we call world folks. Yeah, because they've taught you new creation reality. Yeah, they've taught you your sins are forgiven. They've taught you the power of the Holy Ghost dwells in you. You now feel like everyone is the same. No, not everyone is the same. Not everyone in the Christian faith is the same. It's impossible. But everyone is the same by the resurrection spirit given upon the resurrection, or when you believe the gospel. But God's order is that there will be men who would have oversight. Remember, your pastor is the one that has oversight over you and supplies and brings God's counsel and God's will, teaches you in God's will and plan and purpose for your life to see that you excel in that which God has placed in your hands. All together. So don't logicalize everything. Don't just logicalize. Don't try to explain everything away. There is the theory part of the Christian faith. There's the practical part. There are things that are tangible. Right? Don't just get yourself in a place where you just say things that's the Old Testament. See, people were having supernatural encounters, having visions, seeing angel of the Lord, seeing Jesus, you know, and having those supernatural encounters right across scriptures. And in those supernatural encounters, you know, we are now saying that those things cannot apply to us because we are now new creation. Does that not sound silly? That sounds a little silly to me. Do you understand? Right? So their encounters, their visions, right? And I told you in that meeting, I said, one of the things that we're going to start seeing in our meetings, we start having very strange experiences, strange encounters, where people get themselves, you know, falling, get themselves enveloped in the power of the Holy Ghost, right? And get into trances, into visions. Right? Imagine what Paul experienced, even though he was not yet acclaimed to be a believer. Yes, he had heard the gospel from Stephen's, you know, stoning in Acts chapter 7, Acts 8. You understand? But he had experiences. There are men that had experiences. Do you understand? You know, Cornelius will have a vision, and in the vision, he would see how Peter will come and minister to his household. They're experiencing. You see, God wants people to experience Him both in doctrine and also in tangible physical manifestations. Are we together? So we said, laying on hands, things can happen. Look at Jesus. Jesus laid hands in Luke 13. Look at Luke 11. Luke chapter 13, verse 11. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity for 18 years, and was bowed together, and could in no wise lift up herself. Now when Jesus saw her, he called her to him, and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thy infirmity. So what did Jesus do? Jesus gave direction to God's power. He says, Woman, thou art loosed from thy infirmity. Look at verse 13. And he laid his hands on her. Yeah, he laid his hands on her. So Jesus laid his hands on the sick woman that has been sick for 18 years. What now happens? And immediately, what did Mark say? She recovered. So Jesus laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. All together. So Jesus laid hands to communicate supernatural abilities in Luke 13. All together. Look at Matthew 19. If you look at Matthew chapter 19, verse 13. Then were there brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them. So they brought children for him to put his hands on them. So Jesus, the pastor, a pastor can lay hands on the children. Watch what happens here. So they brought the children that he should lay his hands on them and to pray. Now what happened? And the disciples rebuked them. Why do you think they rebuked them? 1 Corinthians 2. There are some things in the real sense that will require a level of teaching to spiritually discern it. So they were rebuking them. Oh, no. But what did Jesus say in verse 14? But Jesus said in verse 14, suffer little children and forbid them not. That means allow the little children and do not forbid them from coming unto me. For of such is the kingdom of heaven. What happened in verse 15? Then Jesus laid his hands on them. So Jesus laid his hand on them. He prayed, that is, he blessed them. Altogether. So he laid hands on them and departed. So Jesus, so it means you can lay hands to bless. You can lay hands to give instruction. You can lay hands and see. So you can lay hands and speak. You can lay hands and not speak. Do you understand that? But the thing is that things are communicated when hands are laid. Supernatural spiritual realities are communicated when hands are laid. So that's Jesus. You can't say that's the Old Testament. So let me now take you back to the Old Testament. Look at Genesis 48. Don't forget, I told you to take note of the word in Ephesians 1, the wisdom of the Spirit, right? So look at Genesis 48, verse 16. All together. Genesis chapter 48, verse 16. And the angel which redeemed me from all evil blessed the lads, and let my name be named on them. Genesis 48, 16. Right? And the name of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, Israel, Jacob. And let them grow into the multitude in the midst of the earth. Now, verse 17. And when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand upon the head of Ephraim. Okay? So, this is Genesis. Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand upon the head of Ephraim. It displeased him. And he held up his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head unto Manasseh's head. See, why did Joseph pay attention to the laying of hands? Because he knows that when hands are laid, things happen. Do you understand? So Jacob wasn't laying hands on the children of Joseph as a believer to another believer. No. He's not. This is not the they shall lay hands on the sick and shall recover, which is given to every believer. So Joseph knew something, that there was something about laying of hands. He said, and when Joseph saw that his father laid his hands upon his head, the head of Ephraim, it displeased him. That means he was like, I think I want these hands to be on what Manasseh's head. Look at 18. And Joseph said unto his father, not so, my father, for this is the firstborn. Put thy right hand upon his head. If it was a casual ceremony, there was no need for Joseph to remove the father's hand and talk about it. I seen. But look what the father said in verse 19. And his father refused and said, I know, my son, I know it. He also shall become a people. And he also shall be great, but truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his seed shall become a multitude of nations. So these are words that so it means that when Jacob laid hands on the son Ephraim, right, there were words that were spoken, and there were words of prophecy that were spoken ahead. Do you understand? And it's expected that the way when hands are laid on the sick, they recover. The words that are spoken when hands are laid will be seen in manifestation. Do you get that? Look at Numbers 28. Go to Numbers 28. Numbers 27. Look at 27. Numbers 27. Look at Numbers 27 verse 18. Numbers 27 verse 18. Right? So we saw that Jesus laid hands on the children. That's similar to Jacob laying hands on Manasseh and Ephraim. Right? Okay? Right? We saw that Jesus laid hands on the woman that had an infirmity for 18 years. Right? And things happened on both situations. Right, so he says, if you look at verse 18, rather, and the Lord said unto Moses, take thee Joshua the son of Nun. So Moses was going to be seen as the elder over Joshua. Right, so Moses was called with an assignment. Joshua will be like a disciple to Moses. So the Lord said unto Moses, take thee Joshua the son of Nun. So there's a kind of hand that Joshua can lay on Moses. Listen carefully to what I'm about to say. Can you lay hands on your pastor and your pastor gets delivered from sickness? Yes. But you must know that there's a difference between when you lay hands on your pastor, right? So when you lay hands on your pastor, that way you lay hands on your pastor or your elder or your leader, that elder, that leader can also lay hands on you that way. However, there is a the way, pardon my English, there is a the way that your pastor will lay hands on you. You cannot lay hands on your pastor that way, but you can lay hands on your pastor. Are you following today? Yeah, Joshua and Moses were not on the same level of responsibility, like I taught you from Ephesians 4. Right, the responsibilities given to Moses and Joshua were not the same. Moses will be seen as one who would have an oversight with the task of what? Bringing out the children of Israel. So the Lord said unto Moses, take thee Joshua the son of Nun altogether. So it means that we don't see it in Bible where a Joshua will be spoken to by the Lord, like Numbers 27 verse 18, to lay hands on the Moses the way Moses laid hands on the Joshua. Are you listening to me today? Right? So the Lord said unto Moses, take thee Joshua. So can Joshua lay hands on Moses? Let's look at believer. Moses, Pastor Moses, Brother Joshua. Yeah? So there can be Pastor Moses, Brother Joshua. Can Brother Joshua lay hands on Pastor Moses? Yes. Right? When Pastor Joshua lays hands on when Brother Joshua lays hands on Pastor Moses, it is not the same. Even though Pastor Moses can lay hands on Brother Joshua, the way Brother Joshua laid hands on Pastor Moses. But there is a way Pastor Moses will lay hands on Brother Joshua, and Brother Joshua cannot lay hands on Pastor Moses that way. Do you get that? Right? Yeah? So, take thee Joshua the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit. What did God ask Moses to do? Instruction. He says, lay your hands upon him. Lay your hands upon him. If nothing happens when hands are laid, there is no need for God instructing Moses to lay hands on Joshua. So what did he say in verse 19? And set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation and give him a charge in their sight. That means hands were laid and words were spoken. Look at verse 23. And Moses, look at verse 22 rather. Moses did as the Lord commanded him. And he took Joshua and set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation. And Moses laid his hands upon Joshua and gave him a charge. So he laid his hands and said something. What did he say? He said what the Lord asked him to say. All together. So Joshua laid hands on Moses. Moses laid hands on Joshua. And Moses said the words that Joshua asked, that God asked him to say to Joshua. Are you following? Look at Deuteronomy chapter 34. Deuteronomy 34 verse 1. Are you following? Deuteronomy 34 verse 1. And Moses went up from the plains of Moab unto the mountain of Nebo to the top of Pisgah, that is over against Jericho, and the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead unto Dan. Now, if you go all the way to verse 5, so Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab. Right? Remember the story of Moab, right? Yeah? So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died in the land of Moab according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in the valley of the land of Moab over against Bethpor. But no man knoweth of his sepulcher unto this day. Look at verse 7. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyes was not dim, nor his nature force abated. And the children of Israel were for Moses in the plains of Moab for 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. Look at verse 9. Remember, before you get to Moses dying, if for them to say Moses died in Deuteronomy 34, it means that when Moses laid hands on Joshua, he was alive. Yeah? So look at Deuteronomy 34 verse 9. And Joshua the son of Nun was what? He was full of the spirit of wisdom. Yeah, remember I said you should know the spirit of wisdom. Yeah, remember that. Ephesians 1, James 1. Let him that lacks wisdom ask of God. Okay, listen to what I'm about to show you. Right? And Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom because Moses, he says, for Moses had laid his hands upon him. So it means a man can ask God for wisdom. And when hands are laid on him, he is imparted with wisdom. You see that? Yeah? James 1. Yeah? Ephesians 5. So it means that when Paul says, I cease not to give thanks of you, making mention of you in my prayer, that the eyes of understanding being enlightened, that you may not, that may receive the spirit of wisdom, revelation of knowledge, revelation in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. Right? Yeah? So it means that wisdom, even though, it can be prayed for, and it should be prayed for, there is such a thing as man growing in wisdom because hands were laid. So he says, and Joshua the son of Nun was full of wisdom, and for Moses had laid his hands on him. And the children of Israel hearkened unto him, and did as the Lord commanded him. Guess it. So it means that things happen when hands are laid. You can receive things when hands are laid. So we've seen the receiving of blessing, yeah, from the children in Matthew's gospel. We've seen the receiving of healing from Jesus in Luke 13. We've also seen the receiving of wisdom when hands are laid. So, notice in your notes, laying of hands is God's intelligence to communicate certain things in his church. Take note of that. The laying of hands is God's intelligence to communicate certain things in his church. Don't forget Matthew 16, I'll build my church. So in that church he's building, there's a thing called laying of hands, what people call impartation. Dear saints, I put it to you that there's something called impartation. Don't join the bandwagon of those who are not spiritually discerning to say, nobody needs to lay hands on me, I am all insufficient. No. By nature, man is made deficient. Right, but by relationship we are made sufficient. So there are things that God has placed in other people for your sake. Let me say it differently and more particularly. There are things that God has placed in my life for your sake. Altogether, there are things that have happened to my life, happened to my ministry. Altogether, for your sake. Right? So God channels his power, right, by impartation, or God channels impartation by men, through men. So if God wants to lay hands on you today, how will God lay hands on you? He will lay hands on you when another man lays hands on you. Not just another man, but another man in whom you give honor to. So how do you receive when hands are about to be laid on you? What should be the posture and slant of your heart? You must have the slant and the posture of honor. To what? To receive all that God wants to do and God wants you to have in your life. I always get that. And I always tell you, there are things I see in my life happen and I can trace them back to days when hands were laid on me. Let me tell you something. I just give an instant. I just got back from Nigeria a couple, like 10 minutes before church, right? And I went to collect something. And I told you I've received something. And I know I've received something. I always tell you, when I receive things like that, when hands have been laid on me like that, the next thing I try to do is to try to what? Allow the power of God to flow, whether by revelation gift, utterance gift, power gifts. You know, I'm much more before, I saw much more clarity and accuracy in my ministration and demonstration of the power of the Holy Ghost after hands were laid. You get that? Yeah? You get that? Yeah. So things happen when hands are laid. Things happen. There are supernatural faculties that get opened up because hands were laid. Yeah. For every improvement in the things of the spirit that I've ever functioned in, I can trace it back to when hands were laid. Yeah. I can trace it back to when hands were laid. So in fact, I can say it in two ways. I can trace it back to two things. Number one, when hands were laid. Number two, when I practice it after. Right? So on Sunday, hands will be laid on you. And much more than hands laid on you, you will practice and give expression. Hallelujah. And you see how accurate your things of the spirit become. You see how fluent your utterance gifts become. You see how fluent and accurate your word of knowledge is. You see how you communicate God's power because hands were laid on you. Yeah? Yeah? Yeah, I didn't travel all the way for hours and spend days away in the forest to go and snap pictures. I didn't travel all the way to go and form association. No, I went there to receive the impartation of the hand of the Lord, right? And I received in my life God's very hand by the hands of his servants. Yeah, that's God's wisdom on the earth. It is there. It is there. It is there. Look at Paul in Romans 1. It is there. See, you can't play it away. You can't explain it away. You can't. Let me say differently. Can a Christian live a successful Christian life without hands being laid on them? Okay, yes. And if that's what you're trying to wait to hear, yeah, that's the answer, yes. Does something get better? Can it be more effective? Can it be easier because hands were laid? Yes, yes, it can be. Look at what Paul says in Romans chapter 1. Read Romans 1 verse 8. Let me read Romans 1 verse 8 to you. First, this is Paul. Don't forget, Paul's initial conversation when he had the vision and he was, you know, for 3 days without food. What happened? Barnabas went there to do what? To lay hands on him. Remember that? Yeah? Look at what Paul says about laying on of hands or impartation. He says, Romans 1:8, first I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. See, for God is my witness with myself, with my spirit in the gospel of his son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making requests. So Paul is saying, I pray for you. In Paul's prayer, he says, I make request of you, if by any means, now at length. You see, at this point, you should know that Paul is in danger, what you can call bondage, right? So I make request, if by any means now, at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of the Lord to come to you. Look at what Paul says. So Paul is saying, I pray that I will come to you. Why? Verse 11. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift. So Paul can write letter. Paul can send voice note. Paul can send audio teaching. But there is a thing as I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift. Look at what it says. To the end that ye may be established. Are we together? Right? So why do I long to see you on Sunday? I long to see you on Sunday to impart some things to you, to the end that you are established. Yeah. To the end. Why? It is God's wisdom. So what do? You make yourself available on Sunday when hands are about to be laid. You make, so the practice of laying on of hands is taught across. You see, we went to Genesis, went to Numbers, went to Deuteronomy, went to Luke, went to Matthew. Yeah, I'm going to do a proper series on that in the coming days. But you know, there's something that happens when what? You are in physical contact with a man who God has placed over your life. In fact, there is something that happens when you come in contact with a man who God has given a responsibility within his body. Yes, within his body, within his body, within his body, within his body. Right? For I long to see you that I may impart unto you some spiritual gifts. To the end, that means the purpose of me wanting to see you is that to the end that ye may be established. That means notes are not enough, letters are not enough, audio teaching is not enough. Yeah, video teaching is not enough. To the end that ye may be established. If you look at the early church, let me skim through the early church. If you go to Acts chapter 6, verse 5. Acts 6:5, in verse 3, they said, brethren, look among yourselves for seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom you may appoint over this business, and will give ourselves to prayer and ministry of the word. Verse 5, and the same pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith, and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Perminas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. What was the ripple effect? What now happened afterwards? Look at verse 8. And Stephen, full of faith and power. If you go back to verse 5, he says, and the same pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Ghost. This, how did they record it in verse 8? After hands were laid, what was the next thing they said? And Stephen, full of faith and power, he did great wonders and miracles among the people. So Stephen did great wonders. You see, so when hands are laid, you have much more boldness. Because it's now in Acts 7 that Stephen, with the boldness that he has, was preaching when he was being stoned to death. Hands have been laid. Look at Acts 8. Acts 8:14. I'm not going to go through all of them today, but I'm going to look at that in a couple of days. Look at Acts 8:14. Acts 8:14. Now, when the apostles were at Jerusalem, when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, Acts 8:14, they sent Peter and John. Why did they send Peter and John back to the Samaria where they had received the word of God? They saw the thing called impartation. Paul will say, for I long to see you, that may impart unto you some spiritual gifts, to the end that you may be established. Dear saints, see, even when hands are laid and words are not spoken, something happens. When hands are laid and words are spoken, something happens. So they sent Peter and John. So they came down, they prayed that they might receive the Holy Ghost, right? So what did Peter and John go there to go and do? Look at verse 17. Then they laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost. Paul will say, to the end that ye may be established. I can assure you and promise you that from the hands being laid on you on Sunday, there are certain things that will happen to your life. There are certain things that will happen to your ministry. Your ministry will take a new dimension. The accuracy and the right words to use to teach God's word, in mighty demonstration of his strength and power, you will start experiencing it in your ministry once hands are laid on you on Sunday. I assure you. I put it to you. So what did Peter and John go to Samaria to do? They laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost. Look at what happened in verse 18. When Simon saw that through the laying on of hands, are you there? Acts 8:18. So Simon saw that hands are laid, things are happening. What did Simon say? Give me also this power. So Simon, who was a believer, right? However, not spiritually discerning, will speak in the flesh. For him to have said, give me this power when hands are laid, it means something happens when hands are laid. Forget it. Forget it. Forget it. Things happen when hands are laid. So they have believed the gospel. They sent Peter and John to go and lay hands in. So the purpose of Peter and John traveling was to lay hands. The purpose of Peter and John traveling was to be in the atmosphere of impartation. Yeah, my purpose of traveling was not because I cannot watch video online. Yeah, it is to be in an atmosphere and receive of God's mighty power, receive of God's mighty spirit, and receive the impartation by the laying on of hands. Are you with me? So Simon will say, something is happening when hands are laid. Please give me this power. Give me this power. What will Peter say? Your money perish with you. Why? Because you discern these things of the spirit spiritually. Don't use the carnal eyes to look at it. Altogether. So the power of God can be readily available in an atmosphere. I told you before in John 18 verse 6, they came to look for Jesus, and they were trying to search for Jesus, and they asked of Jesus, and they said, we're looking for Jesus, we want to arrest him and all of that. And Jesus said, I am he. The Bible says, as Jesus said, I am he, there was an atmosphere around Jesus such that the people around him, they fell back to the ground. They fell to the ground. That's the power of God. See, it did not end with Jesus. It can still happen. It still happens. Yeah, it can still happen. It still happens. So so you see people, you say, why is that one? Why is that one on the floor now? What did they do? No. There is. Think about what happened to a Paul, and Paul not having to eat for 3 days with scales around his eye, and him not being able to see yet. See, things happen when you have an encounter. So you're going to prepare your mind on Sunday that you're coming to church to have an encounter with God. You're coming to God to church to receive from the mighty, you know, reservoir of God's power, God's ability. Altogether, look at Acts 9:15. Right, and the verse 11, let's go to 15 quickly, right? But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for his chosen vessel unto me, right? And for great things will he show. Look at verse 17. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house of Saul, and he laid his hands on him. So Ananias laid his hand on Saul and said, brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou comest, has sent me. What I told you, God's method will always be men. He has sent me into your way, right? That thou may receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. So, as soon as Ananias laid hands on Paul, what happened? Bible says in verse 18, immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received the sight and arose and was baptized. Do you understand? So, hands were laid on brother Saul by what the man called Ananias, and something happened to his life. Yeah? If you look at Acts 13, separate unto me Paul and Barnabas for the work which I have called them, and the apostles laid hands on him. So it means that, so we can go on and on and on and on, Acts 14, Acts 19, I'll show you that on Sunday. You know, you will see the consistent pattern of laying of hands and seeing that things happen. There is not a time when hands are laid actively that nothing happens. Not a time. You see Joshua, wisdom. You see Jesus, sickness. You see Paul, healed of sickness. You see Stephen, full of power, full of boldness, right? You see Paul as well. Paul, receiving his sight. Are you with me? Then you see Peter and John in Samaria, receiving the Holy Ghost, men full of the Spirit, now what? Baptized in the Holy Ghost, that is filled with the Spirit. Look at what Paul says to Timothy, spiritual son. Look how Paul says Timothy's spiritual son. So 1 Timothy 4:14. 1 Timothy 4:14. Neglect not the gift. So this is Paul. Paul says to Timothy, neglect not the gifts that is in you, which was given to thee by prophecy. Listen to what it says. So neglect not the gift that was given. What did Paul say? I long to see you that I may impart unto you spiritual gift. Dear saints, people receive gifts. See, there are some things that some people can take 20 years to pray for. Right? And there will be a Moses who can lay hands. Look at it. Let's see. See, there can be a Paul who can go through that pain of his eye, right, for 50 years. And 50 years is compressed in 5 minutes of an Ananias coming to the picture and laying hands on him. Let me give you a better context. See, when they had preached the gospel to Samaria, right, if they had left the Samaritans like that, do you know it might have taken days, weeks, months, or years before they start speaking in tongues? Yes, now. But you see how time was compressed such that Peter and John appeared, laid hands on them, and they began speaking tongues. So it means that this God's wisdom on the earth, you can compress matters and conversation of months, weeks, and years into a moment. Just one moment with the King. Yeah? Just one moment with your Lord. Just one moment with your God through the vessel that God will use for your life. So what did Paul say to Timothy? Paul reminded Timothy, he said, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given. So there were gifts that operated in Timothy's life that were given to him by prophecy. What did he say? He didn't stop there. He says, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. The word the presbytery just means the elders. So it means that Timothy could have a fellow believer who was his friend, and his friend being his friend was a fellow believer. It was not going to be an equal laying of hands to when the presbytery laid hands on him. He says, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given to thee by prophecy. You see, Paul wrote two letters to his spiritual son Timothy, and the two of them, he reminded them of laying on of hands. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. Do you know what I just said? Paul wrote two letters to his spiritual son Timothy, and in both of them, he reminded Timothy, don't forget hands were laid on you. So hands were laid on you on Sunday. The words that will be spoken over your life, what do? You take your note and you write it down. You record them and listen to them over for every time hands have been actively laid on me in the past 5, 6, 7 years. I have the things there written. A lot of the words spoken, I've seen them in manifestation. Some of them are for 10 years to come, rather. Some of them for a decade ahead. So words were spoken about you tomorrow and on Sunday, and I assure you, these are words that are going to go right into your future. And there will be rewards that will what make a kind of life happen for you in your future. So Paul will tell Timothy. He says, greatly desiring. He says, look at verse 3. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 3. I thank God whom I serve for my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayer night and day. So Paul says, I pray for you night and day. He says, greatly desiring to see thee. So if Paul greatly desires to see Timothy, will it be for picture for Facebook? No, you see, for me, if I love time, when I go for meetings like that, I don't take pictures with the servant who God used. Yeah, in fact, more often than not, I rarely do. I just got back. I didn't take one picture. Do you understand? Yeah, there's nothing wrong with taking pictures. That's okay. But what when I'm pictures is what? Something that has gone ahead in my future. See, there are things that will happen in my life, in my ministry, in years to come. And when I see it, I'm not surprised. Why? Because hands have been laid. Words have been spoken. I've received God's wisdom, God's power. Right? So look at verse 4. You say, I greatly desire to see you, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. You say, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, I'm persuaded that that same grace is already in you. Look at verse 6. Paul says to Timothy, wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou should stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hand. You see, your pastor can boldly say to you, I have laid hands on you, you cannot fail. You see, Paul says, you see, when I laid hands on you, you probably should have written it down. He says, wherefore I put thee in your remembrance. So I'm trying to remind you, remember I have laid hands on you. It wasn't casual. So wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee. So how did the gift of God that Paul spoke about in 1 Timothy? He says, which was in thee by laying on of hands of the presbytery. That's the elders. Paul now says, well, I got to remind you that hands have been laid on you. So wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of sound mind. Hands together, right? So hands will be laid on you, and there will be supernatural spiritual impartations. Hands together. What do? You come ready, you come hungry. From today up until Sunday, get God's word on your mouth. Keep saying the things you want to see in your ministry. You say in your ministry, right? From today, from that day, you keep progressing in the faith. From that day, your eyes and understanding is being enlightened yet more and more. From that day, you begin to experience the supernatural like ever before. From that day, you begin to have supernatural encounters. From that day, you begin to flow much more in the gifts of the Spirit. Yeah? Yeah? From that day, the power of the Holy Ghost, the function of the Holy Ghost, that which operates in the life of my pastor begins to operate in my life. From that day, yes, anything that God placed in your hands will not slip away. It will not die. Nothing good will die in your hands. Yeah, you can keep saying it. From that day, you receive the wisdom of God. You receive the wisdom of God to navigate amongst or to navigate the affairs of life. From that, yeah, you can keep saying it, and you 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 keep saying it. So you get your heart in the place of prayer. You pray to receive. You desire it. You hunger for it. You look forward to it. You yearn for it. I put it to you for free. Things happen when hands are laid on you. Impartation happens. See, the grace of God upon my life is for you. It's for you. The grace of God upon my life is for you. It's for your sake. So, I look forward to coming to church on Sunday to communicate spiritual, supernatural realities. To stir up that which is already, in you. And I believe strongly that, you know, the fire of the Holy Ghost begin to burn in the hearts of people on Sunday. And you start having that desire to win more souls, that desire to lay hands on the sick, that desire to actually see yourself disciple people, that stirring for the work of ministry, that stirring, you know, for those of you who would have lost your path and lost your course in the Christian journey, you will have yourself realigned back into purpose, back into the will of the Father. You will have yourself, now things that might have been lying fallow, things that you were doing before, you will have them reignited. Yeah, when hands are laid on you. Yeah, so when hands are laid on you, it can make different things available. So what do? You come with a heart open to receive. You come with your hands lifted up, you know, to the Lord, waiting to receive all that God wants to deposit in you. Trust me, I have a lot to drop in you. I have a lot to drop in you. I have a lot to drop in you. And I have words that will be spoken to your life. You know, from some of the believers' meetings we had over the last few days, some of those meetings, we had people in those, you know, in my meetings, identify people, some of you. Yeah, some of you listening to me today, right? The words spoken over some of you, with your names identified, details about you identified accurately by other believers. And I'll minister those words to you. Minister those words to you by God's Spirit. What do? You pick your writing material. You jot it down. Have that note where you write prophecies spoken around you. So when Paul says to you, yeah, I am persuaded and I put in remembrance that thou still of the gifts of God, which was put in thee by laying on of hands. Yeah, and says, you know, remember those things that were said to you, that were given to you by prophecy. What do? You have a notebook where the prophecies are written. Where you go back to, right? And actually go back to go and revisit, remind yourself. The hands are laid. And sometimes when things go south, things seem to be going south, you go back to those notes. Hands were laid on me. I cannot fail. The devil will not have his final say over my life. Yeah? Hands are laid. So you come hungry. 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 Don't despise the meeting we're going to have. You know, some of us will miss for 30 seconds what might take them 20 years to be. Let me tell you something. You know there's every tendency that a man was not present when Peter and John went to lay hands in Samaria. You know that whilst other people spoke in tongues, you know that that man can end up having to go to Bible school or having to go to church for 10 years, 10 weeks, 10 days before he begins to do that which those men in Samaria were doing because Peter and John laid hands on them. Don't miss in 30 minutes, what will cost you 30 years, 30 days, 30 hours to get. Get yourself ready. Like I said, the grace of God in operation in my life is for your sake. So you will take out time between now and Sunday and pray that as hands come upon you, you receive much more the wisdom of the Lord. Your hands heal the sick. Your eyes see more in the spirit. You hear the voice of the Lord yet more. You hear audibly the voice of the Lord. You have supernatural encounters, experiences, right? Your words of knowledge are accurate. Your words of wisdom are accurate. Much more than ever before. You prophesy. Your utterances, you are fluent. Yeah, for those of you who, you know, your utterances are usually, you know, yeah, it is well. God be with you, it is well. Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, but you know, from Sunday, it will go further from it is well. And you start giving words. And you will talk for 5 minutes, for 10 minutes. Just speaking the will and the counsel of the Lord. You will do tongues. So the tongues and tradition might have been 10 seconds before. 20 seconds before. Yeah, 50 seconds before. But I trust and I put it to you today. That from when hands are laid, right, you start having experiences. Yeah, your 10 seconds becomes a minute, becomes 2 minutes, becomes 5 minutes. You start, then afterwards, you know what? Put into practice the words that have been said over your life. Well, it's been an interesting time and lovely time bringing God's word your way. And I hope you've been instructed by this. Get yourself ready to receive all. Come hungry. Come hungry. Come hungry. Come hungry. Come hungry. Yeah? If you come with a bucket, you will get a bucket full. I can assure you. If you come with a reservoir, you will get a reservoir full on Sunday. Well, I want you to know that I love you so much, and I believe that from Sunday, your lives will take a new dimension. Your ministry, not just your ministry, your physical life, your material life, every aspect of your life. You will get instructions and what? Receive wisdom to navigate the affairs of life. I love you all dearly.